Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School, La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. Pastor Brian concludes this week's study in Joshua chapter 5, verses 9 through 12, in a study he's entitled, Reproach is Removed. So let's turn to Pastor Brian Parrish as he closes this week from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
That's what the enemy wants to do, is rob you of hope because of past sin and past failures. That's condemnation. And so many people wallow under that, and it just kind of keeps like a ball and chain. You could just never quite move forward in the things that God has. And some wouldn't even try. You know, I've messed up so bad, I don't even want to try. And they're just kept in that spot. Now, that's not the nature of God. We're seeing the nature of God is to restore and to bring into blessing. Now you say, well, it doesn't sound like an injol. It sounds like he's going to wipe them out. I mean, you're encouraging, you know, I'm all bummed out again. Now the locusts are going to come and eat away everything out of my life. What's that about? Well, the story's not ended, is it? Go to Joel chapter 2. These are great words of encouragement in verse 25 and 26. Verse 25 says, Joel 2, so I'll restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. Look at this. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. That's the way the Lord wants to work, is he wants you to just be blown away at his ability to take our failures, our weakness, our sin, bring forgiveness, remove the reproach, and then bring us into that place of satisfaction and blessing. God wants to bring satisfaction to your Christian experience. He wants to bring satisfaction to your life. He wants to bring joy. He wants to bring peace. He wants you to come into that land that's flowing with milk and honey. He wants you to come into blessing. And he will bring these things about. And our sin, although we fall short, he's able to forgive, remove, and continue us on that path. He wants you to come into that place of being satisfied. And he wants to do it in such a way that you would just be in awe of his wonder. And that's what you need to receive by faith today. You may be in that pit, maybe your own cause or other set of circumstances. God's able to lift you up out of that pit, set you on a solid ground, clean you off, and move you forward into the purposes and plans that he have. And nothing is impossible with the Lord. I know I could stand here today and look back and just know where I was before I received Christ. I'm in wonder, I'm in awe of God that he would take my life because I made a mess of it. And I rebelled directly against God. I knew God's commands. I knew his laws. And I said, I don't care about those. I want to do what I want to do. Made a mess of my life. Made a mess of my body as well in places. And God rescued me, took me out of that pit. And he didn't say, oh, I forgive you and there's heaven waiting for you. He puts me in the ministry and says, I have a purpose and plan for your life. And I'm in awe of God rescuing my life from destruction, self-destruction, a pit of sin and damnation, and God then uses me for his purposes. And I've fallen short, I've made a mess of things, but God keeps picking me up. And it blows my mind the things that the Lord has done. And the future, to me, the future's bright. Because God, although I'm going to mess up and I'll fall short, he's going to be there with his mercy. When I falter, like that song that we sing, he's faithful to remove my guilt and shame. It's amazing how the worship songs all coordinated with what we were speaking about today. And I don't call Richard and say, I'm going to be speaking about this and you sing these songs. The Spirit of God wants to communicate something to us today. Let's encourage our hearts. We need to be encouraged. The enemy's beaten on our minds enough to downcast our soul. God wants to lift us up today. And I want to finish with one last passage of Scripture. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. Now you may say, well, gee, I haven't done that much to mess up my life. Well, you haven't lived long enough yet. The longer you live, the more you're glad the reproach is removed. It's the more time you have to get into trouble and mess up and know of the Lord's mercy and grace. This is a great passage, Jeremiah 29:11. Someone likes it, all right. Now, I have to set it in the context. The context is Jeremiah is prophesying you're going 70 years to Babylon. And that's because of your sin. That's because of your idolatry. God's judgment is upon you. Not a great message to give, is it? But in the midst of that, look at what God says to bring them hope. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So in the midst of judgment, in the midst of God sending a prophet to say 70 years you're going to Babylon because of your own sin, he says, but that's not the end. God wants to restore at the end of this 70 years to give you a future and a hope. He's not finished yet. So look at it again. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, Calvary Chapel, Amarada, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. God will chastise us. God will discipline our life. And he will correct us. And he will use the consequences of sin to correct us, that we would never go down that path again. And he teaches us lessons that way. But even in the midst of that teaching process, he says, I'm not here to wipe you out. I'm not here to dash all of your hope. My thoughts for you not are evil, but to give you a future and a hope. And if you're going to walk as a Christian, if you're going to keep moving forward against all the opposition, you have to know that God has a future and a hope for you. A good future, filled with hope, filled with good things. So you keep pressing forward in the midst of the opposition, in the midst of the discouragements. The Lord's good. He's so good, he's beyond description. He wants to give you a future and a hope. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. And this is in the midst of judgment as well. He's not here to rip you off. That's the devil. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal things out of your life, out of your family, out of your ministry. He wants to destroy it. He wants to destroy hope. He's a destroyer. God wants to restore and redeem and bring you into that place of blessing. Now, I don't want you to think that as we're looking at the grace of God, that it's some sort of license to live any way that you want and God's just going to do his purposes. The nation of Israel, because of their rebellion, that generation died off because they had an evil heart of unbelief. This is a new generation. They've just been circumcised, which is a sign of obedience. They've just taken the Passover on the day that the law prescribed. Here's a people coming back under the obedience of God. And as you set your heart to do that, God, I messed up over here, but I want to repent of that. I want to go in the course. God will meet you with grace. He'll meet you with removing the reproach of sin, whatever depth that has been, and bring you into that place of blessing. Now, to warn you, there are places in the Bible where God says, I had plans for you, but now I'm not going to do them. To Saul, he said, I would have put your family on the throne forever, but now that's been removed from you. So there are purposes that God may have for our life that he can take from us. With David, he said to him, because you've done this, adversity will not depart from your house the rest of the days of your life. And there was some tremendous turmoil that happened. So there's consequences to our sin. I'm not denying that fact. But the only way I could describe it, there's a certain sort of lifestyle and attitude of heart that brings on those harsher consequences. I guess I could explain it by looking at my own children. Sometimes my children do things out of the foolishness of being a child. The Bible says foolishness is bound up in our heart. They just do foolish things. There's other times where they directly defy me. And one aspect of the foolishness deserves a set of consequences and discipline. But when there's direct defiance, I need to step up the discipline, don't I? This will not be tolerated. It's not excusing the other parts, but it's just saying this can't be. And some people in their life, they go beyond the line with the Lord. And it's a willful, defiant attitude. And that's what Saul had. He had a rebellious heart. And he offered a sacrifice that only the priest was to offer. And he tried to excuse it and cover it up. And the Lord said, that's it, Saul. I'm finished with you. You know, you would have had these things, but now it's been taken from you. And there is that point out here where we just defy the Lord. It's like we're tempting him. He draws a line and we step over it and keep pushing him. The Lord finally will say, that's it. But I think that line's pretty far out there. I'm not talking about that sort of lifestyle. I'm talking about our own failures and our own sin. God restores. He reclaims. And he, I believe, brings blessing when our heart is submitted to his will and to his purposes. So this is just some license to live any way that you want, and God's going to bring you into that place of blessing. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying what we're involved with is spiritual warfare, and the devil wants to come in, misrepresent the Lord, and speak in the Lord's name, or kind of communicate to us that the Lord is displeased with us. There's no future, there's no hope, and squash you and keep you down. The Lord wants to lift that off today and show you his mercy that restores, removes the reproach, and continues on, continues you into that place of his purpose and his blessing. That's what he wants you to leave with. And you have to be able to receive that by faith. Say, it's not just for that guy sitting next to me. You know, God heals their marriage or heals that person or he forgives them, but I get leftovers. You have to receive it by faith, saying, this message is for me. I've made a mess of things, but God, he's going to restore my life. He's going to remove my reproach. He's going to bring me into the purposes that he has for me as I walk in his ways and according to his purposes and plans. But the Lord wants to be merciful to us today. Let's simply receive that.